a marvelous line. Search for parents their own age. Really. W. This is just a little thing. W. In every house there is a wife. In every wife there is a womb. In every womb there is a waif. In every waif there is a whale. In every whale there is a will. I'm working on a little series of poems I'm tentatively calling cycles. And this work was started by a visitation while taking a sauna, taking a sweat. A visitation in my mind in the sweat lodge from my old friend Lou Welch, the poet, who disappeared and most likely committed suicide in 1971. From Lou. It's for him, but it was from him, because this is what he came and said in my mind. Lou Welch just turned up one day, as live as you and me. "Damn, Lou," I said. "You didn't shoot yourself after all." "Yes, I did," he said. And even then I felt the tingling down my back. "Yes, you did, too," I said. "I can feel it now." "Yeah," he said. "There's a basic fear between your world and mine. I don't know why. But what I came to say was, teach the children about the cycles, the life cycles, all the other cycles. That's what it's all about, and it's all forgot." Oh, I've been playing with that in various ways. The little changes. This year, the legislature is being hard on crime. Next year, they might change taxes. Small shifts in dress. Skateboards seen less. Roller skates come back. But the streets and the buildings remain. Less show in the flavors of everyone's life. Gruesome, called gross. Highways that last for a century. Clouds and the far hills strolling by. Old, that's it. One more. This is for a Shasta red fir that I walked on up in the Sierra high country north of Donner Pass. It's called Old Rotting Tree Trunk Down. Winding grain of twisting outer spiral shell, stubby broken limbs at angles, peeled off outer layers of bark askew, a big rock locked in taproot clasp, now lifted to the air. Amber beads of ancient sap in powdery cracks of red dry rot, fallen away from the pitchy heartwood core. Beautiful body I walk on, up and across to miss the wiry manzanita mat, on a slope of rock and air and breeze without cease. If, as the Buddhists say, meditation on decay and rot cures lust, I'm hopeless. I delight in thought of fungus, beetle larvae, stains that suck the life still from your old insides, under crystal sky. And the woodpecker flash from tree to tree in a grove of your heirs on a green-watered bench right there, looking out at blue lakes, dripping snow patch, soaking glacial rubble, crumbling rocky cliffs and scree, corruption, decay, the sticky turnover, death into more of the life-death same, a quick life, and the long, slow feeding that follows, death in its place. Okay.
I gotta turn off the freeway. I gotta turn off in Big Sur. Bixby Canyon. Dissidents, Big Sur. January bright sun. Tiny hummingbirds in the willows. Suddenly flittering up. As an ordinary American monster four-door sedan barrels up the canyon road, backfiring and farting carbon monoxide. And the hummingbirds take flight in a flurry of fear, a cloud of them all at once humming away into deep blue air, where the sky sucks up their winged hum, and in the infinite distance eats them. Even as a crowd of huge, defiant, upstart crows sets up a ravening, raucous caw, 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 and screams and circles overhead and pickets the polluted air as the metal monster power drives on up the canyon and over the horizon. And the crows now, too, wing away on wind and disappear into the omnivorous universe. Even as any civilization ingests its own most dissident elements. The enormous capacity of the capitalist or repressive society to ingest its own most dissident elements. Like the NEA has been doing a very good job of that. The National Endowment of the Arts. Alienation. Two B's. If I sound alienated, it's deceptive. Because look what happened here. It's nothing you'd want to get into. Alienation, two B's. I came upon them in the cabin, the angry one at the window and the old bent one on the bed. The one at the window, buzzing and buzzing, beating its wings on the window, beating the pane. The one on the bed, the silent one with the bent frame, alone on the counterpane. I didn't mean to kill them, but the one in the window wouldn't be waved back to his hive. The door was open, and he knew it, and flew in it for a moment, and then flew back away from his community. Something had alienated him, and he would not go back. Or was it perhaps the wounded one on the bed who kept him? I tried to get him to fasten onto a crumpled page of the community news, but he would not. And I must have heard him doing that, for he fell on the bed and died in an instant, stretching out his legs or arms, as if to his comrade or lover, who crawled a quarter inch toward him and then hunched up into a very small furry ball and was still and would not move again. As all at once outside, the hive hummed louder with a million mild conformists with wild antennas bent. Not one flew out to wake the dead. No messenger was sent. These are all in Bixby Canyon. Upon reflection, night's black mirror is broken. The star crab has scuttled away with the inkwell into India. Dawn sows its mustard seed. In the steep ravines and gulches of Big Sur, small animals stir under the tough underbrush. As sun creeps down the canyon walls into the narrow meadows where the wild quail run and cluck, daytime moon, after much reflection, says, "Sun is God." And the stream, standing still, rushes forward. Olber's paradox. And I heard the learned astronomer, whose name was Heinrich Olbers, speaking to us across the centuries about how he observed with naked eye how in the sky there were some few stars close up, but the further away he looked, the more of them there were, with infinite numbers of clusters of stars and myriad Milky Ways and myriad nebulae, so that from this we may deduce that in the infinite distances there must be a place, there must be a place where all is light, and that the light from that high place where all is light simply hasn't got here yet, which is why we still have night. But when at last that light arrives, when at last it does get here, the part of day we now call night will have a white sky with little black dots in it. Little black holes where once were stars. And then in that symbolic, so poetic place which will be ours, we'll be our own true shadows and our own illumination on a sunset earth. Yeah.
Soy sauce. Standing on a stepladder, up under a hot ceiling, tacking on wire net for plaster, a day's work helping Bruce and Holly on their house, I catch a sour salt smell and come back down the ladder. "Dear, lick it, nights," she says, and she shows me the frame of the window she's putting in. Clear redwood, but darker, planed clean with a smell. Scored a 2,000-gallon redwood soy sauce tank from a company went out of business down near San Jose. Out in the yard, the staves are stacked. I lean over, I sniff them. Ah, it's like Shinshu miso. It's like the darker, saltier miso paste of the Nagano uplands of the central main island, Japan. It's like Shinshu pickles. And I see in mind my friend, Shimizu Yasushi, and me, one October years ago, trudging through days of snow, crossing the Japan Alps, and descending the last night to a farmhouse, and taking a late hot bath, and eating a bowl of chill miso radish pickles. Nothing ever so good. Back here, California, hot, summer, sunshine, dusty yard, hammer in hand. But I know how it tastes to lick those window frames in the dark, the deer. One more thing, the Pledge of Allegiance. Ah, to be alive on a mid-September morn, fording a stream, barefoot, pants rolled up, holding boots, pack on, sunshine, ice in the shallows, northern Rockies, the rustle and shimmer of icy creek waters, stones turn underfoot as small and hard as toes, cold nose dripping, singing inside, creek music, heart music, smell of sun on gravel. I pledge allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the soil.
of Turtle Island.
And to the beings who thereon dwell, one ecosystem in diversity under the sun with joyful interpenetration for all. Thank you.